Welcome to the Casual Camping Podcast, your home for the best camping discussion both in and out of the field. Here are your hosts, Tim and Aid.
Hello, and welcome back to Casual Camping Podcast. I'm your host, Aid.
And I'm your other host, Tim. Nice to have the loan of your ears once more as we talk about some camping goodness.
Yeah, it feels like spring has finally sprung and there's a little bit of warmth that's come to the UK this week.
Yeah.
Do you feel it?
I definitely do. And well, I say, yes, I feel it, but I am sitting here in a jumper. But it is warm and sunny and perfect camping weather. All that wet ground that people couldn't go camping on right the way through spring is drying out as we speak and hardening up. And it's going to be a cracking weekend. I hope some people have got some camping trips planned.
Yeah, I think a shout out definitely to our Facebook extended family and friends that are, that are posting pictures, keeping us entertained, chatting amongst themselves about the kit that they've got, the things that they're doing. So even when I'm not out camping, I feel like I'm not too far away from it. So
could you call it secondary camping?
like secondary smoking.
I'm passive camping.
Yeah. Is that the same as when other people buy stuff and you're like, yeah, I've talked them into it. Good. I get the feeling of.
I love that, you know, seeing that everybody's spending money. There's a lot of money gets spent in that Facebook group.
It's Yeah, they don't tell you about that, do they? Well, actually, no. They, meaning you and me.
Yeah, we should probably put a disclaimer on the front. Join this group if you're prepared to start spending some cash. We don't ask for any money.
No, we just take part. But we love the fact that others are enjoying it too. Mm. And a big part of that is almost that show and tell. So if you're not on there, please join us there. But what's been going on with you this week, Tim?
Well, I got an email today from Yeti to say you'd spent some cash.
What? Sorry if I just blew the levels there. Oh, no!
because you asked a couple of weeks ago for me to ask for an NHS, you know, code from them because they give discount to emergency services and military and everybody. And they do that all over the world, not just in the UK. So I got you the code and then kind of forgot about it. And then today a nice email popped in while I was doing some spreadsheets and boom, Eddie spent cash. So tell everyone what you've bought, Ed.
Well, so Yeti, like they always do, are tempting with new colorways and new products and, oh, look at this. And most of the time it's just like, no, you know, I like everything that they do, but I'm just, you know. And they have done a new size in the wheeled Yeti box that some of you might have seen from our recent episode on coolers and how long ice lasts within our coolers.
Our cool box.
That was a great episode and really surprised. And other people have also been showing us what their cool boxes are. But they've done a slightly smaller one than the one I had. And I like new shiny things. So I was wondering about whether or not my big one is really too big. Whether I should, you know, sell it on, get the medium-sized one. So I used to have the Rode 24. That are quite heavy once you put sort of beer in it. And then when I went camping, I realised that I had my beer in it. There was no room for my food. So I bought a second Rode 24.
No room for food because he takes so much beer.
much beer. Thank you very much. And then they brought a wheeled one out in the version of a 48 and a 60. I knew the 60 would be too big, but I got the 48 224s, you know, that it'll carry double the food, but it's all in one thing and it's on wheels. Woo! All makes sense so far.
Yes, it does.
And the Roadie 48 didn't cost me anything because I sold two Roadie 24s. Boom, you know. So it's all sort of nice little jigsaw, paying Peter to get Paul and you, whatever it is. But then off the last weekend away with Rob in the lovely woods, which I'm still dreaming about.
Oh, it was heaven, wasn't it?
Just got a feeling that sometimes, you know, it's just a bit too big. And so I was thinking, oh, well, I can't really justify getting a smaller one. But I also wanted to just see what the comparison is. So sometimes it's just a bit too big for an overnighter or a two-nighter. Mm. And I was like, you know what? It is big. It's glorious. And I love it to bits. But I was then going, well, maybe the other one's like a little bit. And they've got a free returns policy, you know, Tim. So I thought, you know what, rather than selling one, why don't I buy one, compare it, and then either send it back if I think it's too small, or sell my other one to pay for it.
Blow my neck.
You see the wicked way my mind works.
Yeah, yeah. I see the wicked way Yeti works.
I'm like hung, drawn and quartered. They've got their hooks in me, big style. That's what I'm doing. The comparison, really.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea. I have to say, having had our weekend away in the woods, I also think that my Stanley is a little bit large and gets quite heavy when you're just doing one night or two nights. And I know I've got the canvas soft cool box, cool bag, really. Mm-hmm. My Coleman one. I am thinking of maybe getting a smaller Stanley one because they do three sizes, and I'm thinking maybe I should get the middle one because then it gives me the convenience of the flexibility of what I'm doing. So actually, yeah, strangely enough, we had the same idea. I haven't gone and bought it yet, though. I'm not that dumb.
I did have the other one for sale, and somebody on Facebook was like, would you take 200 for it? Yeah, I know the value of it. So that was a polite no rather than that.
That was me.
F you.
I know the value of it as well. If I could get Eddie to sell that for 200, I could sell it for 350.
In bringing out the new one, though, they've dropped the price of the bigger one by £50 from what I bought it from. It's like I say, so it's still quite a big one, but I think it might be sometimes it's just a bit too big to go in the car. I've got to drop it into the wheel bed in the boot or the trunk for you American listeners. That's what I'm doing. And once again, I've said it before and I'll say it again. You buy good stuff, the value is there. So one will pay for the other. I don't need two big wheeled ones, although, you know, for any occasion.
You could always wear them as skates, go down the road wearing them.
Motorized and sit like a child on a buggy. Come on, Yeti, you can do it. I want that one. Like a child at the airport, there's AD just on his Yeti cooler queuing.
Going to town. Oh, if only we had the skills to convert them.
Yeah, that would be excellent. Yeah, you imagine. So the next big event that we're going to, well, I am camping next weekend beforehand, there's a little trial run. It's the Bushcraft Show. Anybody that has been listening or been looking on our socials, Instagram, X, now TikTok, but not very often, and YouTube.
I love your honesty. I love your honesty. Yeah.
Doing once a week at the minute. What can I do? Yeah, I'm building those young kids, you know, with the dance moves. I've got no dance moves.
Now, careful. You know, there's things that we said we weren't going to say anymore. Yeah. Can you be careful how you're talking about young kids?
Yeah, they're all young uns on there, is what I mean. Careful.
young nippers. Young nippers.
So, you know, I can't just go in with bombarding fires and campfires and bushcraft and camping and stuff. I've got to ease them in. So new episode. That's what I'm doing. So
cool.
Marketing strategy. Who knew?
Who knew we had one?
But you imagine going to the bushcraft show on a Yeti that's motorized wheeling in.
that would be absolutely fantastic.
With my swag on my back.
Excuse me. Can absolutely see you doing that, riding a motorized Yeti, carrying a swag, drinking from a can of beer at the same time.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Yes, I'm not sure it'd go down well with those, but I would be chuffed as anything.
I would take pictures. It would be cool. But yes, we are going to the Bushcraft Show at the end of this month, which is May.
And if anybody wants to come, is there a code, Tim? Can we get the cheaper tickets?
There is. So our code is CCP Casual Camping Podcast, CCP15. And if you put that into the website, you'll get 15% off. And you can come for the day, you can come for the weekend, however long or short you want to do, that discount code will work. It would be great to see you. And you don't have to come and see us. You could just come and enjoy the day. You could go and just, you know, avoid us.
I think there's some people that will do, to be honest.
I think there are. I think probably people who've met us before are probably just going to avoid us this time.
And I was like, oh, small doses. They're okay in small doses.
I'm really looking forward to it, though. It should be great fun. And you're taking the Burke and Wills swag that you're going to be camping in, which is pretty epic. Which is great. And that CCP15 code works with Burke and Wills UK as well. So if you want to take a look at their swags and use the same code, it'll get you 15% off there too.
Jesus, Tim, it's like we've been sponsored. Can we just say that we've not been sponsored?
Yeah, it is like we've been sponsored, but we've not been sponsored.
We've still got our integrity.
Well, the Bushcraft Show is just a really, really great event. Stuff for all the families. They've got a dog walking field that they've been talking about today on their socials. You know, it's one of the few festivals you can take your dogs to. And Burke and Wills are just incredibly high quality, unique kind of style of camping in swags. So, we're not sponsored. We're just shouting out good quality stuff. And they've been very kind to reciprocate that by giving our listeners a discount code for 15% off. Yeah. I think, you know, that's pretty fair. Fair enough.
It is. Yeah. So I've been seasoning my Burke and Wills tent this Ooh. Evening.
Bit of salt and pepper.
A bit of salt and pepper. A little bit of pretendy rainy water. Because it's a canvas tent, it's breathable. And I tell you what, I've taken a little video of the hose pipe on it, and it water just runs off it. So I'm trying to seal the seams, apparently. But those will be up on the social sometime this week. But yeah, absolutely brilliant. So I've been having a lot of fun, Tim. I've been spending money and I've been putting up tents.
What's not to like? If only work
didn't get in the way.
I know. I have had no such fun. I've been working. I've spent nothing on camping stuff and have not been camping. And that's just rubbish.
Shame.
I am living through our social platforms, all those people that are out there doing stuff.
Going camping next weekend. Fancy it? Boom. Right, yeah. Knife. Boom.
Oh, I like the way you do a little cockish boom. Slant yeah, of your little, head when you go, boom.
Yeah.
Airy princess.
Let's not get that trending again. Okay. It fits
so
well.
It's never stopped. It's never stopped.
I'll send you the code of where we're going.
All right. So, cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, I did run a half marathon this week, so I have been doing that, and I've been recovering from it because I have to say it was really hard. It's but hey, you know,
absolute hero. Because I couldn't do it. I ran down the stairs the other day. Yeah. It was touch and go.
that's called falling with style.
Well, I've done that before.
yeah. Remember when we used to stair surf?
Yeah.
Just like on your body, and you go down head first and throw yourself down the stairs.
The amount of people that get really freaked out by that, don't you? And then you get up and walk away like...
It is good fun, but I think probably at my age now, I might break something. I might struggle to get off the floor.
Barry's mum did it. We got her surfing one night.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure there's a video somewhere.
I was going to say, we're so lucky that actually we grew up in an age where there's no social media and there's nobody holding phones and stuff. We did loads of stuff as kids that no one will ever know about.
Yeah,
unless we talk about it on a podcast.
Well, you know, maybe we do a late night one, you know, like Hollyoaks or something. Late night with rude bits.
So
for those listeners in America, Hollyoaks, I'm sure you can find it on the internet, is a Channel 4 series that's been going on for years. It's brilliant. Well, it was when I was younger.
It's not brilliant. It's like really rubbish soap opera. It's with plasticine storylines that.
Anyway, we're digressing.
How do we get to Hollyoaks? This episode is called Costa Camping 2. We weren't planning on doing a Costa Camping 2, and the eagle-eyed cherries of you out there will have noticed that Costa Camping has now become Costa Camping 1 that we put out a few weeks ago. We were talking in that episode about how going camping has got ridiculously expensive and how annoyed we are and lots of other campers out there. How much campsites are actually charging for all sorts of incidentals now. And, you know, you said only on, was it last week's episode or the week before? I think it was the week before, you said that you'd been somewhere and they hadn't even, you know, they charge you extra to turn up in your own car, which is just a craziness. It's, so we did that episode, which was, quite well received. But somebody did reach out to us who owns the campsite. They want to remain anonymous, and they don't want us to mention their site or anything. But actually, we had a bit of a chat back, or I had a bit of a chat back and forth with them. And after a while, they said, well, actually, as long as we keep them anonymized, they'd happily send us a lot of their costings about how much it costs to run their site and how the costs have increased since 2019. Like astronomically, and that they're really struggling and that they're scared that a lot of campsites are actually going to close because the costs of running a site have just gone mad, and that they felt that we didn't really cover that point in our first episode. And so here we are again. We're in Cost of Camping 2.
And I guess it, you know, there's two sides to every story, isn't there? And I think we covered that with the differences, you know, like you said, the surreptitious extra costs of coming away. And as somebody said when we met up a couple of weeks ago, surely it's just you've got a field, surely, you know.
Yeah.
What's the cost of those things? So it's a real sort of bone of contention But you know, everything's going up, and yeah, I can totally understand the costs of those things, of running somewhere and making sure that it is fit for purpose for people turning up like ourselves.
Yeah.
And probably why there is so many rules and regulations when you go away to it as well.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, their email, it starts really just by saying, I'm just going to read it. Just for the record, I'm not pleading poverty. But it makes my blood boil when I hear campsites are greedy. It's just a patch of grass, etc., which is literally.
Somebody said it to us.
I think we've probably said it at different times. They go and say, believe me, you don't make a fortune from owning a campsite, which, yeah, they don't. They say they pay personal income tax on all of their earnings, regardless of how much it costs to run the site. They're open 365 days a year. They work 16-hour days in the peak months and are on call 24/7. So our hourly wage is literally pennies if we can afford to take one. I haven't ever worked it out because I might cry. I have to say that line really kind of stung, really. And we have talked about, you know, thinking, well, if sites are really struggling, some sites are absolutely going to shut down. And it certainly sounds like things are a little bit tight for this individual. But they did go on to give me a list of stuff that they pay for. Some of which is they put it into different headings. So they put things to note. Then they put outgoings that no camper thinks about because it's just a patch of grass. And I quote, and then they've got a list of some of their increases since 2019. And then at the end, they've put a list of the investments and improvements that they've made to their site in the last 7 years and the costs of those. They're astronomical. I'm going to come to those last because they are they're off the charts, some of the cost of some of those things. But I don't know how entertaining this is, but it does feel like we need to put the other side of the tale. You know, having moaned about having to buy wood and pay extra for this and pay extra for that, it feels like it's only right, really, that we talk about some of the campsites themselves that are struggling and that.
It does sort of make me think as well that, you know, we've said before about your local camping shop support. Your local people and, you know, otherwise use it or lose it. And it goes full circle, doesn't it? You know, we all like being out there. We all like being on the campground. I guess, you know, I come at it from a cheap Northern Yorkshireman kind of way going, this is cheaper than a hotel. And yet, you know, this is the thing. If those campsites aren't out there, the differences and the beauty that is out there on certain things, we've got less free roaming sites in the UK. There's quite a lot in other countries. But, use it or lose it, I guess.
Yeah. Before I start going through some of the costs, they did the last part of their email just says they have one request for us, is that they've got two key messages that they'd really like us to put across on behalf of independent campsites. One is don't discount the independents when you're researching. You know, they're not always listed on big sites. You know, you've got to try and find them in different ways. Don't just go to the big sort of corporate campsites. And also don't flock to the don't flock to things like PitchUp because they have to pay a premium to PitchUp and yes, some sites may or may not pass that premium on, and if you go direct with them, you may or may not get it cheaper, but the campsite's making a little bit more out of people by you going directly. Some campsites will actually be cheaper because they're not paying that premium to pitch up. So not that we're anti pitch up, because we're not anti anything, but it's just about, you know, have a look, contact, you know, it's always been best policy to try and, you know, book things direct with businesses, whether that's a B&B, a restaurant, or whether it's a campsite. It's always going to be best if you book direct, but
I think that's the thing. And I did just that this week, so I'm off camping next week, and I looked to see if the site I was going to actually had their own site. You know, I might find them on PitchUp, and couldn't find something separate, so went through PitchUp. PitchUp is a great site for getting out there, but not everybody's on PitchUp. There are, you know, various other ones, and still I'm coming across different on search engines like campsites, and just have a little look out there as to where you can book in. But yeah, it's, I mean, that's I think a extraordinarily good top tip. And you know, we're paying for things. I think the email really opened my eyes a little bit more.
So in their list of things to note, they put their income comes from 45 pitches, 7 glamping units, 2 lodges, and a holiday cottage. So it's not an insignificant, you know, site, I would say at that. They're a council licensed site, so their costs are massively higher than non-licensed sites, but their prices aren't massively higher. And put last year, 2023, was the quietest year since 2019. So comparing the two seems justified, since our income was on a par, which is kind of what they've done for the rest of the finances on this sheet. Campsite prices since 2019, they've increased their prices once in 2022 and have held them again this year into 2024. The list below is not exhaustive, as they've only listed items that cost £1,000 or more. Our total outgoings are now in the region of £65,000 annually versus £35,000 when they took over the site, and are up by around £20,000 since 2019, despite their income remaining exactly the same. So they're just swallowing that increase, which you can only do that for so long. So then outgoings that no camper thinks about because it's just a patch of grass. I feel bad because I know I've said that, and this really does make me feel bad, but they pay 20% value added tax. So in the UK you pay VAT on everything. So I know in North America and in other parts of the world, you calculate the tax after. It's not on, you know, what you're paying, and you pay tax in different ways. In the UK, you pay VAT, you pay value added tax, and they pay 20% on all of their income. Third party channel bookings, for example, PitchUp, they pay 15 to 20% on every booking received goes to PitchUp. That's massive. That's a massive amount of money.
Huge.
They've still got a mortgage on this site from when they bought it, and that's £5,000 annually. They've got an accountant that's £2,500. They pay council tax. So not only do you pay value-added tax in this country, if you own a building, you have to pay council tax on that, and that's £1,000. They pay £1,000 for Wi-Fi, but they don't charge for that. So the guests all get that free. So they're just, again, they're sucking that up. They have a site plant and vehicle and equipment and maintenance and everything. That's another £2,000. Their office and admin is £2,000 annually for all their office admin and IT. Disposing of waste, so their rubbish and everything, is £2,000. Annual safety checks. So if you're running a business, you've got to make sure it's safe for the public to come and use it. That's £3,500 every year. Cleaning and general materials, £6,000 a year. It's mad. Yeah. And subcontracting to clean it is £2,000 a year. And I have to say, yeah, I didn't really think about any of those costs. They're not the stuff I think about when I think of what would a campsite cost. Because we've both thought about, oh, wouldn't it be nice to run a campsite? But
yeah, I don't think we're alone in that, are we?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of what you're hearing there, you know, I think of one of our favourite campsites, Treswick. And I can quite honestly see, yeah, but I can see some of those costs.
They've put new toilet blocks and everything in today, and Mark, one of our listeners has been there last weekend. He said the toilets are great. He nearly got sucked down them. They're that good. Well done, Treswick.
There's a surprising toilet trick.
You were a long time, Mark. Yes, I was.
I went around a second time.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
They then put a list of stuff that's things that have gone up since 2019, so pre-COVID. Gas has doubled in price to £2,000 a year. Plant fuels, the diesel and things like that, it's a 50% increase to £1,800 a year. Water, so you've got to pay for water in this country, 75% increase to £2,400 a year. Electricity, we all know electricity's gone up throughout the world. That's now gone up to £4,000 a year. And would be massively worse, but they've offset a lot of theirs by solar and Tesla batteries. Site insurance has gone up from £1,000 a year to £3,500 a year. And obviously, they can't let anybody step on the site unless they've got that.
Yeah.
It's just mad. And then they kind of finish with lists of things that they've invested in over the last 7 years. And it's just mad. A new septic tank. So something you're never going to see. It's buried in the ground, £36,000.
What?
Yeah. A new shower block, £54,000. A new washing up and laundry block, £24,000. New boilers, £10,000. Solar panels, £15,000. And a Tesla storage battery to hold on to that, £12,000. I mean, it's just numbers are out of this world, and yet they've only increased their prices once in 2022, yeah. And they haven't increased them this year because they know if campsites charge any more than they already are doing, people are just not going to go at all, and then the business doesn't work, does it? But I do wonder they're not I'm very, very grateful for that individual for sending those numbers, because we don't, as campers, we don't get to know any of that information. And a lot of time we might not even be interested in it, but I was pretty gobsmacked by it, and I'm very, very grateful that they've taken the time to share that with us.
You know, obviously we were talking about it from the other side of it. There's a real fine balance there, isn't there, between as a customer from one side of it and the value you put on something, you know, and that is, you know, the location, the views and everything else that goes with it. You want an enjoyable time and... you know, only seeing it from that side of it myself. So yes, it puts it into a lot of perspective. I think there needs to be a clearer way of pricing for a pitch. There seems to be two or three different ways to do it. And you know what? I just think that not knowing or having those different ways that, you know, me as a seasoned camper, you as a seasoned camper, we go away with friends, we go away with family. And I still, can we book together? Can we book a site? Is that two tents on there? Is that one tent? And it seems to be different for each and every. So that's where first episode was coming from, but, you know.
Yeah. And I, you know, I, in North America, you know, I've got some numbers for the other side of the pond, and it's a $6.3 billion business is camping and outdoor pursuits in America. You know, it employs, you know, well, I think it probably employs more, but what I've read was 50,000 people, but it probably employs an awful lot more than that. It's and they sort of estimate, you know, the cost of starting a campsite over there is anything between $180,000 up to a possible $454,000. They're really quite specific, and they got a list of things that you might sort of average things that you might have to pay for, and business licenses $200, insurance $200. I think the insurance is going to be a lot more than $200. Website setup $2,000, land purchase down payment on average $65,000. Could be up to $100,000. Land preparation could be up to another $100,000. Buildings and amenities between $100,000 and $250,000, depending on what you're actually wanting to do. So the costs are astronomical on either side of the pond, and I'm sure, you know, in the Philippines or in Australia or New Zealand or France or Germany, and wherever our listeners are, you know, cost of living's gone through the roof wherever you are in the world at the moment, and setting up what is a lot of people's dreams, and certainly our dreams of one day, wouldn't it be great to have a campsite?
Mm-hmm.
It's out of reach for a lot of people, I think, looking at all those numbers, and those people that are doing it, they're struggling.
Yeah. And I think kind of coming full circle for me is just remember that camping still is one of the freest, openest, cheapest way to get yourself out to nature.
Yeah.
To, for me, burn things, buy new gear, play with your stuff.
Oh.
And
was that play with your stuff or play with yourself?
Stuff, and then I coughed.
Stuff cough to you too. Sorry.
Yeah. So you know, it is, and yes, it's gone up. Everything's gone up, and I guess it puts it into perspective. So yeah, you know, I think like I say, what a lovely sort of full circle thing from that first one, and going, oh, wasn't everything gone up, to, you know, now cost of living, and bringing it round to the site owners. If the site owners out there, you know, that want to shout out, you know, reach out to us. You know, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. You know, send us a message. You know, we'd love to come and shout out your site. We'd actually love to come and review the site. I think there's something there to, you know, keep the business going within the UK.
Yeah. Let's share the love. Let's share the love. And hey, you know, if there's a site in North America or New Zealand or Australia that wants me to come and, you know, we're supposed to turn up, I'm not ruling that out.
Tim, we come as a package.
All right.
I see you separated us there. I go to North America.
I mean, you know, I hope it hasn't been too depressing an episode, really, but I think it's quite just an important thing to kind of try and give a balanced argument. We're not journalists, we're not reporters, you know by now. We're not very professional. we are casual by nature. But actually, it is good to be able to give that sort of balanced side of the argument. You know, as campers, we've all moaned. It's nice to be able to maybe reflect the other side of the story back out there. But if there are some campsites out there, like you say, that are struggling, that would like a shout out, that do want us to turn up, you know, we're still looking for a site that will let us maybe do a bit of a meetup somewhere with some of our listeners. You know, get in touch with us, and we could come. You know, and we would bring people. We would bring our people, and you know, at least two people would turn up.
At least two of us.
Yeah, I'm going to say one's you and the other one's me. But we got to keep these businesses going, because, as you said earlier, it's not like the rest of the world. You know, there's very little places where, where you've got a right to roam in the UK and particularly England. So if the campsites aren't there, we're not camping. So let's all try and work together, share the love, and keep the industry alive, because it's an industry I dearly love, and I know you do too.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like we're winding down to a minute mindfulness there, Tim. I think what a beautiful sentiment you just said. So here are some pre-recorded actual sounds from the woodland that we stayed at a little bit ago. Take some deep breaths, visualize where you're going. I hope this inspires you to get out there somewhere.
Welcome to the Casual Camping 1 Minute Mindfulness. Let the sounds of the outdoors take you back to the camping field.
That takes me right back to those woods.
I want to go back to the woods.
I want to go. Let us come back.
I want my own woods.
My own woods. I won't turn it into a campsite though. Sounds a bit pricey. It's just to finish on, really, just to reiterate. We have that unique code of CCP15, and you can use that on either the Bushcraft Show. Come and join us for a day or the whole weekend. Or you can use it on Burke and Wills UK website on any of their products. And it's the same code, double the benefit.
Ooh, yes. Get some new kit. Summer's coming, people. It feels like spring has actually started, even though it's very late in the year in the UK. It's now dry. It is now warm.
It is.
Get out there camping.
Sorry, those people in Australia who are heading towards winter, but hey, come here. Come camping with us.
Yeah. Come to the Bushcraft Show.
Yes.
You know, there's a bit of jet lag, but who knows? We'll have to drink on through.
Yeah. Are they jet lag or just hungover? It's the same difference. Cool. Well, we will see you next time.
I've been Aid.
I've been Tim. Bye-bye.
Bye.